Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now.
Welcome to the Overcoming Emotional Overeating Podcast. In this episode, I'm actually answering some questions that I've gotten from callers on a pre-recorded line, repurposing these so that everyone can get value from them. Keep on learning, enjoying, and overcoming. I know that this is a really broad topic, but I wanted to bring some specificity to it so you had something to really go away from this call with, and that you could understand yourself, your emotions, your body, and your food a lot better than you did before you got on this call.
So, and this is probably going to sound silly and ridiculous, but for example, I know I hold tension in my jaw, but I don't know how to identify emotions. So I guess, do you have a recommendation of how I can figure out anger versus anxiety and where that's at? And
yeah, and it's not silly at all. This is one of those things that I absolutely feel like we should be teaching kids in like first grade once they have language and emotion together, and we don't. And anything that we recognize as a child tends to go away as we get older. Whether we're invalidated or something else happens to us. So it's absolutely true. It's not out of the ordinary at all. So what I tell people to start to do, if you write down, if you make a square on a piece of paper and you write down four emotions just to start with, anger, anxiety, or stress, however you want to label that, right? One anger, one anxiety, stress, one sadness, and one loneliness. A little bit different nuances. You can pick any four you like. I like to start with those just because they're kind of around the spectrum. And then when you identify that you hold something, let's just say in this, in your example, in your jaw, you would figure out which one of those it was closest to. And only you know. So let's say it's closest to anger. You would identify that, but you could see if it's a little bit different than anger. Well, it is anger, but it's not quite that intense. It's a little bit less than anger. So what's a little bit less than anger? Would it be frustration? Would it be fear? You see how you can get at least which box, almost like Foursquare, which box does it fall into first? And then get the different nuances to that. But giving yourself language first and just identifying four emotions that are around the range to begin with is really helpful because it gives you a baseline to start with. Angry, sad, worried, stressed. Right? You can pick those.
Okay.
But just start with four. And then you can fine-tune it, because really most emotions, minus happiness, most emotions come out of those. You know, one can be more extreme than the other. Like rage is an extreme form of anger. Conversely, frustration can be a lower level of anger. So that's where I would begin. Does that help?
It does, and just start paying attention, and yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you, you know what I find the best learning is just to do it once a day. Write the four down, put it in the box, and if you're really feeling something in your body and you don't know how to label it yet, then go to that just once a day. It's like a retraining and a learning of, oh, this is what that emotion feels like, and then here's where I feel it in my body.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great question.
For you.
Yeah.
Okay, so been in therapy for almost 2 years now. pretty basically, I'm a Hulk. I'm pissed off, mad all the time. So I'm doing your box thing here. And
are you mad at me?
No, I'm right now I'm a little confused because I don't know what I'm supposed to do with everything. Because I understand and I've calmed down and I know where I hold everything. I'm a chest, shoulder. I've broke two teeth from gritting my teeth. I'm like that's me. Okay, so now I recognize all this. I do the counting, do the talking through. I do the 2 years of therapy, all that. Now, what do I do with the eating, though? Because I went from eating everything in sight to now I cannot eat. So following the program is very hard for me right now because I don't eat. Mm-hmm. So my body is being put back into the starvation mode. Do you have any recommendations on what to do with this?
Yeah.
Because I went from anger to now depression. So I don't even know how to handle food.
Yeah. Man, I'm so glad you're on the call today. And, you know, I was only joking at the beginning because I know when I have somebody on the line that's really angry, just so you have this identification, whenever we're angry and we have those high emotions, those intense emotions, one of the release outputs for that is laughter.
I can go from laughing to crying to just hitting things. I mean, I am a full range of emotion, and here lately in the past year, I'm going through a separation, so I can literally be laughing my ass off and then being pissed off the next second because something else has popped into my head that has just lit me on fire. So
okay.
I'm kind of all over your spectrum. So I'm not really sure what to do with me right now.
Yeah. Well, here's the good thing. First of all, it sounds like, one, you are getting a really good handle on naming your emotions and the range of them. Two, do you know where you hold those emotions? You mentioned when you were angrier and there was a lot of anger and rage, you were eating a lot. And now that it's moved more to the converse emotion, you're not eating. So where are those emotions held for you? Let's just go opposite extremes, anger and sadness. Where's anger held for you?
To be honest, I feel like all of it is held in my jawline and my chest and my arm. Like I don't really ever feel like anything in my legs. I don't correlate with that.
Okay.
It just seems to be all upper body and jawline. That's feels the same. Like if I'm extremely happy, I'm laughing from my gut and from my head, my like everything just to be centered in the same place. And I don't know if that's normal or not because I don't know what normal is anymore. So
right. And is there really a normal? I don't know, especially when it comes to this topic. I've been working with clients for so long and I hear similar patterns, but it's rare I hear the same thing, which is so cool in a way because it tells me how different each of our bodies and our reactions are to our emotions are, which is really awesome. In that, though, I'm hearing one pattern for you, and that pattern is you stay in your upper body. You're disconnected from your lower self. Does that sound accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'd be doing with you and what I'd be curious for you is your work comes in finding your lower half. Because you found all your emotions in your upper half, and there's your pattern, right? And if you were working with me individually, I'd go there some, but the reality is where you're going to get some really key learning is focusing on your legs and your feet more. Just finding them in your mind, even 3 times a day, feeling your feet on the ground, like really feeling them. If you have to take your shoes off, people always used to laugh at me. I used to wear boots in like 10 degree weather with no socks on. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to feel my feet, especially when I was working with clients all day. So your work comes in feeling your feet and your legs to start to feel that part of you to be more grounded. The reason why you fly from one emotion to the next is because you're not grounded. And grounding you will then help you open up your whole body so we could truly see where your emotions want to reside. Right now, they've got an apartment complex in your upper quadrant.
Okay.
We want to open up your lower quadrant a little bit. So focusing on your legs, focusing on your feet, and starting to feel your grounding. Now, if you held anger, so that would be the first part of the work, right? Even before you get the different nuances of where you hold different things in your upper quadrant, the pattern of you saying distance from your lower quadrant is evident, right? So the first thing we want to do is have you start to focus on your lower quadrant. What do your legs feel like? What do your feet feel like? Can you feel your feet on the floor? Right? Can you feel your ankles?
While I'm sad?
Don't start there. Eventually, yes. But at first, just regularly. Like if you're sitting at your desk doing work. Ultimately, the work comes in, yes, as you're feeling certain emotions, you want to be able to tap into your lower body to notice, hey, am I feeling anything in my quads? Am I feeling anything in my calves? Can I feel my feet? When you're angry, you're sad, that's the work. But at first, just start to do it when you're not in any intense emotion, right? So that would be the first part. If you're angry and you held it in your jaw, it would make sense that you would eat. What's interesting, which might also make sense, where do you feel, you said, you know, lately it's been a little bit more on the lower energy side, like a depressive side. Where do you feel that?
My chest.
Okay. Yeah. So it's out of your jaw into your chest.
I can't breathe.
Like you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. And do you feel that right now?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you mind if I work with this for just a minute?
No, I'm good.
Okay, wanted to make sure. So if you feel that in your chest, what do you notice in your calves?
They're just kind of hanging out.
Okay.
I've got them propped up on a chair.
Can you put them on the floor? Can you put both feet on the floor?
Okay.
Can you feel your feet on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you feel your quads?
They're tight.
Okay. So let that tightness be in your quads and go back to the feeling in your chest. What do you notice about the feeling in your chest?
I don't mean to sound ridiculous, but it feels the same.
That's fine. No, we're not looking for a change. Just looking to see we're just checking in. So it's not to make a change, just to see what's happening. What happens with the tightness in your legs?
Still there.
Okay. If you go back to your chest, if you could put a color or a shape to what your chest feels like, what would it look like?
A hole.
So what color would that be?
Black.
Okay. Is it large, small, round, square?
Round.
Round.
Medium.
Can you breathe?
Yeah.
Okay. Tight, but you can breathe.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you notice about your quads?
Kind of tight. They feel tighter.
Tighter. Got it. Okay. And what about your feet on the floor? You can feel them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you wiggle your toes, can you feel them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what do you feel in your quads?
Maybe not as tight.
Maybe not as tight. What color would you say that tightness was? If the hole's black and round in your chest, what would your quads look like?
Red.
Red. Got it.
Tight.
Okay.
Red, tight,
explosive. Red. Mm-hmm. And if you wiggle your toes again, what do you notice happens to the redness in your quads?
Kind of released.
That's interesting. And what happens to your chest? What do you notice is going on there?
Still sad.
Mm-hmm. Is it still a black hole? Or has it changed?
No, it's still black.
Same size?
More breathable.
More breathable. Okay. So what I'm doing in that is I'm just helping you, first of all, great work. And I know we're only working that about 3 minutes. But what that caller just did is ginormous because she was able to go in her body with that emotion that clearly doesn't feel great. And you were able to go to a different part of it. See, most of us...
Refocusing your thought process, refocusing your energy?
It helps your mind expand to all parts of your body instead of, we talked about that pattern of separation, right, where you were hyper-focused on the upper quadrant, which is really normal when we have an intense upper quadrant emotion. Yet the body clearly was holding some things in the lower quadrant. We just had to have your mind have a prompt, which was me, but that prompt of, hey, can we look down here too? Again, it's never to change anything. It's really notice and be aware. The body naturally wants to move these things through. It doesn't want to hold on to bad stuff. It's not how we're wired. We don't want to hold the bad, especially if it's hurting us. But we do. Just like that jackrabbit that fell over and played dead for a while, right? It was holding a whole lot of trauma in it, right?
How do you release?
Well, what essentially, so with that call, with the caller, if I were to sit with you and we kept, it's very slow work, but what you can start to do is just go back and forth between those two emotions. Your toes in this moment, because tomorrow it might show up differently, but in this moment, your toes were kind of your release outlet, right? You move those and then you felt that little shift in your quads. And I only knew to do that just because I've been doing this for a long time. It's just a feeling I get. I wish I could tell you why I said that. Sometimes when you work with practitioners who've worked for a long time, you just get this feeling and you have patterns of resolution in working with so many clients. But the work is about the titration between, for you, caller, between those two areas. And then seeing if you have a release in one area, what does it do to the other? Because everybody's different. But in that, we can recognize and notice that the body fluidly changes, which is the good news. Because then you don't have to hold that anymore. You just have to, there's just some work in there for you. And it makes sense to me, just so you understand and you recognize this, that if you have a feeling of having a hole in your chest and it's really hard to breathe, it is going to be so hard to eat. And I get it. So what you'd want to do if there were a worry or concern about you getting enough nutrition in, I would be asking you, what could you consume with that hole and that difficult time breathing that would at least feel soothing? Because not being able to breathe and eating a burger doesn't fit for me, or eating a steak, right? But it might fit more to do a real nourishing soup, or if cold feels better, to do a really cold smoothie with some protein in it. Going with the body as opposed to trying to jam something in it will allow you to feel more nurtured. And then it lets your body know that you're really hearing it. See, I learned to do these work with my clients with anorexia who had very similar shutdown GI systems. and people were trying to get them to eat 6,000 calories a day of all this food. And they were coming to me, and they were telling me that it felt like someone was choking them, or that there was cotton stuffed all in their stomach. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't eat if somebody was choking me, especially 6,000 calories. And that's why I started to take somatic experiencing into my office with my clients to do the therapeutic work of feeding. Conversely, I noticed the same thing with my clients who had compulsive overeating and overeating issues. So if we honor what the body feels and we understand it, and I put you into a visual with that too, because it really helps us get, like, did that visual, how did that visual feel when you saw that black hole or the red in your quads?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you say that one more time? Cause I was
when you put a name to how your chest felt, like the black hole or the red in your quads, what was that like?
Never really thought of it that way. Kind of enlightening, I guess. Never really thought of the body like that. Makes sense when you have nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
You shake it out. You move around. Just a different concept.
When we put a color or a shape, and everybody thinks differently. Sometimes I've had clients put a shape to it. Some people put like a song to it. I've had really interesting kind of creative outlets to that, but it makes it more tangible and workable when we actually kind of define it.
Oh, yeah, it also gives you a focus.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives you a focus. Absolutely. And then for me in working with you and for you now as I'm reflecting this back to you, really recognizing that if it feels really hard to breathe and that you have a black hole in your chest, well, gosh, no wonder it's hard to eat. That totally makes sense. Versus if we would have talked a couple of months ago when you're in the anger and we were focusing in your jaw, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So how come when you, because the person you described, when you don't eat and then when it releases and then you overeat, Is it still the same exercise, just putting yourself into a different realm, kind of giving you something else to focus on?
Well, yeah. So if it, we're moving back into your jaw, so the cool part about now recognizing your patterns a little bit better is if you were moving more into overeating, the first thing I'd say to you is, okay, so what are you feeling in your jaw, and what's that like? Before you eat, while you eat, and after you eat. And then we could do things like look at other parts of your body, right, and how that feels with respect to your jaw. We could focus on the types of food you're eating when you got all this energy in your jaw, and what would it be like to eat the converse. There's lots of things that you can kind of play with when you know the patterns in your body. That's the cool part. And then recognizing you're eating in response to an emotion. But when it's pushed into your body, your body's trying to release that. So then recognizing, like with your jaw, recognizing, I got a lot of energy in my jaw. Could I sing with that? Could I chew gum with that? How else could I get a release from that energy in my jaw besides eating? Right? Conversely, with that feeling of not being able to breathe, I was titrating it down to your legs so we could try to get a little bit more opening for you to breathe. But you could also do something like, could you put your hands behind your back and, you know, see if stretching your arms out behind you helps to open up your chest a little more, and do you get more breathing room when you do that? So these are all different ways you can go. And then obviously that has an impact on whether you're eating, not eating, or overeating. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, caller, and thanks for letting me do that work with you. I'm truly honored and blessed that you came on the call. I love doing that work, and it speaks volumes to who you are to come on the call and let me do that. And I continue to honor you on your journey and in finding the balance between those two emotions for yourself.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.